when your children are old enough to cut the apron strings, what kind of lessons will they have learned by imitating you?
God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about mothers as cooperators with God. A few months ago, I saw another one of those wonderful nature programs. The scene opened with a great wasteland of snow and ice, and then the camera zoomed in on a black hole in that snow, from which was issuing some steam. And then I watched with fascination as a great lumbering mother polar bear came out of that hole, followed by two absolutely adorable, squeezable little cubs. The mother went rolling down the hill, sliding down the ice and the snow, and these two little cubs, who had undoubtedly never been outside that hole before in their lives, went rolling and sliding in exactly the same fashion as their mother. They were a little bit more awkward about it, of course, and turned a few somersaults that she had not set the example for. But everything the mother did, those two cubs attempted in their own awkward way to imitate. I learned from that program that the polar bear keeps her cubs with her for 2 whole years. She has to teach them to fish. It's a neat trick, the way a bear puts his paw into the water and scoops a fish out with his claws. I've never been able to understand why that works, but I've seen it many times on TV. And the mother set the example for the two cubs, and here were the cubs standing there intently watching every move that she made and then attempting to imitate it. They did badly at first, of course, but eventually they were adequately trained so that they could become independent. The whole program reminded me of the importance of the example of the mother. To me, it's a wonderful thing to watch my little 2-year-old granddaughter as she imitates her mother in the kitchen. She wants to stand up on the stool. She wants to roll the pie crust. She wants to knead the bread. She wants to use the knife and pare things, which, of course, her mother at this stage doesn't allow her to do. But a mother is cooperating with God in setting an example of godly womanhood for those children. When your children are old enough to cut the apron strings, what kind of lessons will they have learned by imitating you? What kind of a house do you keep? How do you speak to your husband? Do you raise your voice when you talk to the children? Is your life an example of orderliness and peace and serenity? And oh, I can hear the cries of despair out there saying, shut that radio off, I can't listen to this woman one more minute. No, my life is not serene. No, it's not ordered. Well, take heart. We all have our difficulties, and none of us, by any means, lives a life of perfect order and perfect serenity. But I want to encourage you that God is every bit as interested in your job as He is in any other. In fact, if you really want to know my opinion, I think God is more interested in the job of mothers and fathers than any other job in the world, because they're making children, they're making adults, they're making potential servants of His, and God wants to help you to make your life a place of order and peace and serenity. He is willing to help you day by day to set the kind of example that you want to set for your children. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. This is the list of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? They're not things that you and I can drum up by ourselves, not by a long shot. They're things which we cannot produce without the help of the Holy Spirit of God. But He's there to help us. And that's the kind of habits that you want to sculpture into your children's lives. You are helping to shape those lives by everything that you do, by everything that you say. Your home is the visible sign of an invisible reality. If it's a place of chaos, it tells me, it tells any visitor into your home, that there is a disorder in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind. God can help you with that. In carrying for 9 months a child and then giving birth to that child, you are cooperating with God in the bringing into being a new personality. God doesn't do it any other way. It takes a woman's body to be the indispensable medium. Have you ever thought about that? God could create tiny little babies out of nothing, I suppose, if He wanted to, but that isn't the way He's chosen to do it. He's chosen you and me to be bearers of life. Does the job stop after those first 9 months? You know it's only the beginning. The creative process continues as the mother powerfully shapes and molds a man or a woman, as that marvelous polar bear was shaping those little cubs of hers to be adult polar bears capable of independence and self-sufficiency. The job of a mother is a high and holy calling, to be workers together with the Lord who created us. We're guardians of a treasure. The child watches and imitates as the polar bear cubs did. I think of my own mother and the things which I have tried to imitate in her life. I think of the lessons that she set before us, not by word, but primarily by example, some of them, of course, by word. She was, first of all, a godly woman. She was a woman whose life was centered around prayer and Bible reading. We knew that after breakfast, as we headed off for school, Mother headed for her bedroom where she prayed for us and read her Bible. She was a woman of self-discipline. Before she began to teach us to pick up our toys and make our beds, before we were old enough for that, we saw in our mother an example of neatness. She always looked nice. Punctuality. Restraint. These were among the evidences of self-discipline that she showed us. She was very feminine. My mother never in her whole life, I think, wore a pair of slacks. Of course, back in her day, they were not stylish when she was young, but slacks certainly came in before her death in 1987. But she always wore dresses, and she always put on a clean dress in the evening when my father was coming home for supper. She was feminine. She set an example of submission to and honor of her husband, my father. We understood tacitly, not that these things were ever explained to us when we were children, but we understood that there was an order in our home. My father was the head. There wasn't any question about that in our minds. My mother taught us obedience. She had a little stick that helped in the teaching of obedience. She didn't beat us. She didn't have to use the stick very often, but the stick was available. And when it was needed, it was used. And we knew that it would be used. She taught us respect. She sang to us. She prayed with us. She read to us. I can remember sitting on her lap. I remember a particular gold bracelet that she wore all the time because it wouldn't come off. She'd put it on when she was a little girl, and there it was still on her wrist. I remember playing with the brooch that she used to wear. As she sang these songs to us and prayed with us and read us stories, we grew up on A.A. Milne, the Pooh books, Winnie the Pooh, and all of Beatrix Potter's books, beginning with Peter Rabbit and The Tailor of Gloucester and Squirrel Nutkin and all the rest of them. Mother was always there for us. I told you yesterday how she won the award of Spoon Girl in her graduating class from Germantown Friends School in Philadelphia. She was a woman with talents, humor, drive, energy, intelligence. Were all these things wasted? Is it only people with no talent, no humor, no drive, no energy, and no intelligence that God chooses to be mothers? Well, of course not. That sounds ridiculous even to say, doesn't it? And yet, there is this strange undercurrent of opinion today which would make us feel that if you have talents and humor and drive and energy and intelligence, then you ought to be doing something important, something other than mothering. You are squandering those talents. Is that true? Well, yes, you're squandering them on children. How glad I am that my mother was willing to squander all of those things on us. We would have been very different children without the example that our mother and our father set for us. Someone has sent me this anonymous quotation. I don't know where it comes from, but if one of you does, why, please write and tell me. When God wished for a mighty deliverer for his people, he began with a mother. On four different occasions in Scripture, God gave early intimation of the coming greatness of the child, so as to impress the sculptress with the importance of her task even before life had begun within her. Hence, with a sense of mission, the mother prepared first herself and then her child for the great task before him. It's natural for a young mother to prepare for the coming of her little one by making garments, preparing a nursery, and purchasing necessary equipment. How much more should she prepare herself and her home for the coming of a soul? Don't forget that you are shapers of destiny, cooperators with God, sculptresses of young lives, and quiet servants of necessity. It has been true all throughout human history that the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Is the hand that rules the world to be only the babysitter, or will it be yours?
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.